I mean, if the summary captured the essence of the class in 7 minutes, no, I mean, it's not entirely true. I mean, I'm joking, really.
So I actually think that it doesn't. I think it would only, a person would only really get it if they actually came to the shiur. I don't think there's shortcuts in life in general. I think as a general
rule, particularly when it comes to learning.
As a general rule, shortcuts don't really work.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of the JP Show. Wherever you are, write a review, subscribe, and enjoy. Today's episode is sponsored by an anonymous donor in honor of her grandparents, Daniel Ben Zavel and Gita Bat Nochum Leib. May their neshama, may their souls have an elevation and generate tremendous blessing for the entire family and for everyone.
If anyone wants to sponsor another episode, contact us.
For sure. It's not that expensive. So, Rabbi Levy, how are you doing? We've had some fun, actually, the last couple of days, me and Rabbi Levy.
Yeah.
We've discovered some new aspects of AI, and we've been playing around, like having fun. Creating, well, Shaman showed us. Well, I'll give you the background. I was at a shiur the other night. I gave a shiur. This is fascinating. And someone took notes from one AI program, which produced a brilliant summary.
Yep.
And then someone else took the summary and put it into, what was it called again?
You know the name?
Google something or other.
Notebook LM.
Notebook LM or something. And they produced a video. And I got to say, the video was brilliant. Had some great lines there, which I didn't think of during the time that I was giving the shiur. Now everyone's joking that I can retire. And then we sort of playing around with some other things. And it's actually a really interesting, and we've been using AI on a low level already for a while, as everyone has. But this is just some new sort of new revelations. So what did you think about all this?
I think it's amazing. We were discussing before, we were worried, you know, if we start sending out after every shiur a 6-minute summary of the whole shiur, the whole class, will people stop coming to the shiur?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I was excited at the beginning when I saw the video. I thought that would be an amazing thing to send the participants in the shiur.
Yeah.
People who came, in other words.
Mm.
A little bit of a summary afterwards, and they would love it. But yeah, I agree with you. There might be a danger that they just want us to listen to the summary and not come to the shiur. And I was thinking, how am I going to answer that? I mean, if the summary captured the essence of the class in 7 minutes, no, I mean, it's not entirely true. I mean, I'm joking, really.
So I actually think that it doesn't. I think it would only, a person would only really get it if they actually came to the shiur. I don't think there's shortcuts in life in general. I think as a general
particularly
rule,
when it comes to learning.
As a general rule, shortcuts don't really work. It may work as a tool, as an assistant, you know, as an assistant to everything else you need to do. And I think this is true in everything in life, actually.
I think it's a great review, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about it because I was testing it in my mind. So I was thinking about the class that I gave.
And by the way, just to interrupt before we get into the AI aspect of it. This is true even when the long process seems to be unnecessary. Like, when I am learning something in depth and I come up with an insight on my own, and then I'll happen to be reading another book and see that someone else already wrote that insight, I know that there's a difference between had I learned it just from the book or if I spent the 3 hours coming on my own.
Yeah, for sure.
It's more internalized, you get it better. When you put in the work in general in something.
Yeah. And particularly in Judaism, where the journey is as important and sometimes more important than...
And the goal.
Than the actual goal. Yeah. So it's the journey, it's the work, it's the engagement. I think that's the word. The engagement with your learning is so much more when you actually have to work hard and you have to listen, you have to follow. But just going back to what I was saying, so I was thinking about this class that I gave. It was an explanation, both a halachic and a mystical explanation on a particular story in Tanakh. And I was thinking about the whole shiur that I gave, which I prepared, and it was quite a bit of notes, handwritten notes, like an old-fashioned person.
Mm.
And I was thinking, what actually is the difference? And of course, there is a big difference. There's detail, there's nuance, there's passion, and extra information, which of course is much more learning and it's more engaging. But I think there's a room for the for the summary also, and I think it was pretty good. I mean, you could use it as a promotional thing. There's a lot of stuff you could use it for, and it's actually it's really, really fascinating to see where the world is going, and I'm sure we're just scratching the surface, right?
You know, I don't know if this is connected to this conversation, but I'm not sure where it's going to go, but you just mentioned something very interesting about handwritten notes. I'm significantly younger than you. I'm in the age where, I mean, smartphones weren't around when I was a kid, that's true, but it was around since I was a teenager. And it actually still makes me nervous when people get up to give a speech at a wedding or a bar mitzvah.
And they look at their phone.
And they're using their phone as notes.
So why does it make you nervous?
I actually don't know why. I think maybe. I was actually learning a while back that someone wrote a halachic responsa. Are you allowed to daven from your phone? Like people have a Siddur app. Is it actually permitted to pray like that? Now, obviously, you know, there's no other option. You can do that. But is that ideal? And one of the reasons why, there was a few reasons why it wasn't okay. For example, you're holding a very expensive item in your hand that itself could detract from your intention because maybe you're scared you're going to drop it. But also, one of the ideas were, like, if you have notifications popping up the whole time or even the potential for that, that could detract from your concentration. Maybe what makes me nervous about it is like, you're not only holding your notes. You're holding your whole life in your hands. So you're not really there.
That is interesting, an old-fashioned streak in a young guy.
Yeah.
I must be honest, I was thinking of doing it once in a while. There was times I thought of doing it. The only reason I didn't do it was because I was worried that the technology would fail me in the middle.
It might
stop working, it might freeze, the screen might freeze. I know with a piece of paper that's written or typed out or printed out, it's safe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, davening is different, praying is different, because praying you need a lot of focus, a lot of things. This is just a technical thing.
But I think if someone's giving a speech, a heartfelt speech, having something in your hand which can potentially lead you in a million different directions.
Yeah, but it's not going to, because
there's something wrong with that.
Because they set it up, obviously.
So you think it's okay to have to give a speech?
I don't think it's okay to pray.
That's interesting. I'm surprised.
I have done it.
It's interesting. We rarely have a difference of opinion.
Especially when I should be... that's a role reversal.
Correct.
Okay. My white PhD was saying, no, you've got to hold a piece of paper and the right... I have a problem with praying from a mobile phone.
Why?
A smartphone. Because just praying is holy, and it's got to be a designated device for davening. In other words...
Right, there's something holy about a siddur.
A siddur, a prayer book is special. It's not just a, it's just not a method.
Yeah.
In other words, speech paper is just a method. I need to remember my speech, and I'm not sure I remember all the words, so I hold something. There's no holiness in that. Mm. Even if what I'm saying is holy, there's no holiness in the fact that it has to be. It's just because I have a weak memory, so I can't remember all the words, so I've got to write it down or take notes, whatever the case is. But prayer is different. Prayer is really, it's a focus, and the fact that you daven from a siddur, a designated prayer book, reminds you to be present, reminds you to be focused, reminds you what you're doing.
Right.
Somehow, you know, that really makes me nervous. But a speech, I'm still not going to do it because I'm still really worried it's going to freeze. what am I going to do then, right? So I'll probably still print out the notes. Anyway, it's really, really, it's such a fascinating area and how the world is changing.
Yeah.
But I suppose and maybe this is what we're going to talk about, I suppose the major question here is it good spiritually, AI? I mean, I know people talk about a lot of dangers.
It's a very good question. I actually don't think we know the answer yet.
We don't know the answer in terms of application, but I think we do know the answer in terms of the essence of it. What do I mean?
Hmm.
So there was a time, there was a famous talk of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We talked about using technology to disseminate Jewish teachings, right? And you can always think about it in a primitive way, but it was about the radio, actually. Because there was a very big progress and advancement in that time. This is going back, I don't know how many years.
So what, 1950s and
something
60s,
like that, where there was a shiur every Motzei Shabbos that Rabbi Weinberg, a member of Blessed Memory, used to give in Tanya on the radio. And the Rebbe agreed to it. And the Rebbe was criticized because at that time the radio was considered a very secular tool. And there were very observant communities who said, you know, it's not good to have a radio house altogether. They just negative news, and at that time a lot of people didn't have there wasn't any television in some places, so a lot of the the secular and even the inappropriate material was on radio, actually.
Mm.
And it's better you don't listen to it. Why do you have to? We should shun it. And of course, when it became television, it was the same thing, because there was a time later on where the Rebbe, a few times a year, allowed his Fabringens, his talks, to be televised, right?
By that was a massive operation. Satellite.
Huge satellite. I mean, nowadays it would be so much easier, but
They had something called Chanukah Live, where they live streamed in different places, right. Which nowadays would be nothing. It would be a Zoom call.
It was so easy now.
Then it was huge.
And I mean, we even had it once or twice in Australia. It was amazing, right? And again, the Rebbe sort of was criticized for that because, you know, why using television? A lot of people don't have a television. I don't have a television in my home. You don't have a television. And I've never had a television in my home, right? And that kind of thing. So the Rebbe spoke about it and he said the following. And it goes very deep into the belief of the oneness of God and how everything comes from God. And he said, there's a medrash that says, you know, when they built the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the desert, the home for God in the desert, the medrash says, and it was a lot of gold that was used, the material, he said, the medrash says, gold was created to put in the Mishkan.
Mm.
That doesn't mean, by the way, that gold jewelry is a problem, but it means, I was trying to bring out a point, that everything that happens, every technology that happens, doesn't just happen. Nothing happens randomly in this world. Everything happens by God, created by God, for a purpose. And that purpose is to use it to serve God. So the Rebbe's view was, in a technology progress, a technology creation advancement, is a clean slate tool, which can be used for good and can be used for bad. And if it's something that can be used for good or for bad, because there are things that can only be used for bad, which is another discussion, but if it can be used for good, then it should be used for good, right? I think, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, because, you know, AI is really taking over the world in a way, we must say the same thing with AI. First of all, on a very practical level, it's here to stay. Whether me, you, and a podcast decide if it's a good thing or not a good thing, it's really going to have very little impact.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen, it's going to be used, and it must be a creation of God. I mean, everything is created by Hashem. There's no such thing that can happen on its own. I strongly feel that we need to use it and use it in the right way and use it only in the right way. Just like we use social media. Social media is very dangerous. Does that mean we shouldn't use social media to spread more Torah learning or the internet in general? I mean, the amount of learning that's accessible now on the internet before AI is unbelievable. How much more so with AI about promoting Judaism, promoting Jewish events, and promoting learning. Now, it should happen, but it needs to happen very carefully. It needs to happen only for the right reason, and needs to be used for efficiency and for real positive things, which, by the way, I think in the case of AI, this is true with everything, but in the case of AI, it'll need guidance, and I think people shouldn't do things on their own. They need to talk to other people, they need to discuss it, they need to, even something silly like that summary we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think the principle is true. We have to use it for good. But not everything that we think is good is necessarily good. Like, for example, we have to think about this. Is sending out a summary of the shiur every week a good thing? Maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe people will stop coming to proper learning.
Yeah.
All that, I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying everything. So we have to talk, we have to discuss, we have to ask a mentor, like Pirkei Avot says, you have to make yourself a friend and a mentor, and so on. So we have to be very careful because it is open to tremendous abuse, which I think is becoming pretty obvious, and there's a lot of worry, and even in the secular world, there's a lot of talk about it.
And I think the biggest caution we have to have is with children.
Correct.
How are people going to learn how to think?
Correct.
A critical part, you know, like you said, there's a very big difference between Torah learning and every other subject. So, for example, I never understood why you can't use calculators in school. Like, in the days when people used to use calculators.
Yeah.
Why do I have to work at the math? Let's just put it in the calculator, right?
My teacher told me, after the calculators, because I might find myself in a desert one day and the batteries will die and I want to spare batteries.
Okay, that's the most ridiculous
thing. So far, it never happened to me or to anyone I know.
Right. But that's true about when it comes to math, the quicker you can get to the answer, the better. But when it comes to learning a piece of Talmud or a deep Hasidic thought or whatever Jewish learning you're doing, the analysis itself is part of the learning. Your head starts to think in a godly way.
Correct.
And if we just, if a person could sit over a page of Talmud and put it into AI, and the AI can explain it and just summarize the whole, we call a sugya, the whole topic in different sections in 1 second, and you didn't actually think through it and battle through it, I mean, what I used to spend in yeshiva 8 hours a day doing is working out what this word meant and what this phrase meant and what this opinion was.
Yeah.
And think, having AI to help you out, I don't know if that would be a good thing.
And I think there's another component to it. There's also, there's the process. So what you're saying is the process in Judaism, in Jewish learning, not the outcome is important. The process is very important. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, the tradition is very important.
Right.
Learning it from its original Hebrew, from the original Aramaic, learning the format of a, you know, how we examine those little small non-voweled Rashis.
Yeah.
That's all part of it. It's all part of how we remain part of the chain and we carry on the tradition. It's all very, very important. So I think maybe to put it a different way, maybe when if we can use it for the good, Number one, we have to be cautious, as you say, and not say that everything we think is good. But also, I think very, very important, I think one of the rules should be it's not here to replace what we would normally do, it's here to enhance it, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's really important. How we've always learned is really important and very effective. Without AI, without technology, without computers, without videos.
Because you've mentioned to me before that the studies now about schools.
Correct.
They're actually scaling back on the technology they use.
Right. There used to be a thing that every kid has to have a computer and only learn online, all that kind of stuff. They found that
back
it's not working. Back to pen and paper. Because there is even in secular learning, there's an importance to the process, and it helps you think. And I'm talking about now in Jewish learning in Europe, sitting hours a day studying, that's what produced massive, amazing Torah scholars. Torah scholars of the like we do not have today, or at least not abundantly.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, of course we've got Torah scholars, but not... I mean, these were people who just dedicated their life, they were focused and present and really immersed in the learning. And that learning worked, that system worked. Now, it doesn't work for everyone. Some people have learning difficulties. Often technology can certainly help with that. There are different styles of learning. Yes, all true, but don't replace, enhance.
Yeah.
I think that's the rule.
That's very...
But it goes back to this concept that everything that God creates essentially has a purpose.
Yeah.
Everything.
So it's interesting you say that, just to sort of veer off in a different direction, and we can end with this topic. You say everything has a purpose, right? But not everything, the purpose is necessarily even to use it. So for example, in the Jewish belief, there are certain things which are non-kosher. So, you know, the purpose of it is that we don't need it, I guess. Right? Not everything its purpose is to use, and not everything is its purpose to use always. It's also another thing, right?
Correct.
Certain things, part of its purpose is maybe to teach us self-control. We shouldn't be using it always.
Correct. So in Kabbalah, they talk about that a lot, of course, as you know, and they talk about different levels of unholiness. And there's a concept where God dictates in the Torah that certain practices or certain experiences should not be engaged in unless you engage in a certain way. And then there are certain things we're not allowed to engage in at all.
Yeah.
For example, we're not permitted to eat pork. Or any other thing that's not kosher, right?
Correct.
And the explanation that's given in Kabbalah, because it's a fascinating concept, because normally we say that we engage in the physical world and we elevate the physical world, right? So to give another example, sexuality, for example, is considered holy in the Torah.
Mm.
It depends when you do it, depends how you do it, depends with whom you do it.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, incest is terrible and adultery is terrible and so on and so forth. So the concept there is the actual experience is holy, but not always.
Yeah.
There's some experiences that are so unholy that they're not there to elevate. Their purpose is more discipline.
Yeah.
To know, just self-control. Same thing with kashrut, things that are not kosher. What that really means is that the godliness, everything has a godly spark at the end of the day, because they cannot exist without a godly spark. But we are taught that in those things, the godly spark is so hidden, that it cannot be revealed and it cannot be elevated. And its purpose is to stay away from it. That is true. But when there's something in technology, for example, that's not dictated by the Torah as being not kosher, it's a matter of its use.
Yeah.
Then, of course, if it's used for something inappropriate, then it should be stay away from it. But if it has a possibility to be used for holiness, then it should be. In other words, it has a purpose, and a purpose is to engage it. So it's a complicated topic.
It's great. I never
ever thought we'd sit and talk about AI, but that's what's happened.
It's a developing topic. I think we'll probably have to revisit this in a few years, and probably even less than a few years, actually, the pace it's moving. And we'll have to see, is this actually a good thing? I think the advantage of the way we live our life is that there will be at least always one day a week where we will be forced to think.
Yeah.
No matter how much we use AI, there will be one day a week, Shabbat, where we switch off our phones. And I encourage everyone to do that, even if you want to try it for a few hours every week, try it. And, you know, obviously add as much as possible. It's worth it because we're going to be forced one day a week to think, to talk, to use our brains as human beings were intended to.
That's right. If I can just end off on a light moment, on a light topic, on a light idea, I mean, I answer as people say that there's a Talmud, there's a pesach of the Talmud that said that a Talmud Chacham, someone who's a Torah scholar, is called Shabbat.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because, I mean, the simple reading is because, you know, the Torah was given on Shabbat, and Shabbat is extremely holy, and Torah is extremely holy, and there's a lot of comparisons between Torah and Shabbat observance. So they say a joke that now we understand why, because during the week, anyone can access information. You can go to AI, you can go to, even before AI, you can go to the web, you can search the web, there's search engines, there's all kinds of things, you can access knowledge. On Shabbat, if you ask a person a question, there's no way they can go and access the knowledge through technology. They're going to have to be a real Torah scholar to be able to answer the question on the spot. And that's why the Talmud says that Torah scholar is called Shabbat.
That's right.
Just a cute little idea.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Have a great week. See you next week.